I am praying and working for our church to have its best year yet. But in order for the church to have its best year yet, spiritually speaking, I want you to have your best year yet. For spiritually, you are feeling the abundance and fullness of life in Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, and in John 15, verse 5, these words, and they will form our scripture this morning. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And then from John 15, 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. Other translations say, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. But someone might say, well, I believe in Jesus. Why am I not experiencing this fullness of life? Have you ever felt that way? Here's why believing in Jesus is not enough. It's because we reduce believing in Jesus to believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we can go to heaven after we die. But that is neither the fullness of faith nor the fullness of salvation. Yes, Jesus came to save us, but here is not how it works. Here's how it doesn't work. I make a decision for Jesus, I get my card stamped and it says heaven, and now I just kind of live my life. And then when I die, I show my card and okay, I'm in heaven. That's not how it works. Instead, Jesus comes to us. He pours his life into us. That regenerates our hearts. It enables us to have faith. And then he shows us a lifestyle that the more we live that lifestyle, the more of his life flows through us. And we experience more of this abundance and fullness. In other words, it's like a vine. I'm the vine, you are the branches. So this past week, we were in California. We had a new grandson born to us. We stayed at a friend's house, and they have this arbor where they have four grapevines that cover the arbor, and it creates some shade. And, you know, my friend says, you know, I've planted these grapevines, but they just produce leaves. Well, later on that afternoon, we went to a winery for lunch, and as you walk through the winery, there's a grapevine, but then that grapevine has just two branches that the vine dresser has just trained to, you know, kind of grow along this trellis. And he trains it to stay on the trellis and grow on the trellis. And on those branches, there's just bunches of fruit that look beautiful. Same kind of grapevines. One just produces leaves, the other one fruit. Same life flowing through the vines. But it's the way that the vine dresser dresses the vines that produces the fruit. Jesus has showed us how to live a life in fellowship with him. So we produce fruit and experience this abundance. Now here's where evangelicalism sometimes makes a mistake. We make a decision for Jesus and we think that that decision alone will give us a different kind of life. But that's like hoping good frosting can redeem a dry cake. Let's say you have a dry cake. It'd be okay if it wasn't so dry. And some people's life is like that, like a dry cake. And so you think, okay, I'll add something to the cake. I'll put on frosting, right? And the frosting actually helps. It makes the cake better. And some people treat Jesus that way. I'll just add Jesus to my already dry life. Man, it's better, but that cake is still dry and you're just not satisfied with it. Just adding frosting on top of the dry cake isn't enough. Jesus wants you to start all over and give you a recipe for a new cake where he is infused throughout the cake. That's the cake that will satisfy you. And so today's sermon is about how we can have that kind of life. Let's go back to our text that we started with this morning. Let's go ahead and put that up on the screens. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. So other translations will say, I'm the door, I'm the way, I'm the gate. So whoever enters through Jesus, he himself is the gate. They're now in the sheep pen and they're saved. Now, it doesn't mean that, oh, now they can go in and out, meaning that, oh, they're saved and now they can be unsaved. And now they're saved and then they're unsaved. No, it means that in the sheep pen, they live their lives. It means everything they do is lived in my presence, in Jesus' presence, and under his watchful eye, under his instruction. Because that term, he will come in and go out, is a Hebrew idiom that we read in the Psalms as he'll watch over my going in and my going out. It means he'll watch over everything I do. And the sheep who live in the presence of Jesus and in fellowship with Jesus, they're the ones who find pasture. They're the ones who are fed and are satisfied. And by the way, that word saved, we think, oh, I get to go to heaven after I die. Saved can also mean healed, restored, made whole. It's a comprehensive salvation. That's great, but there's also a thief. A thief comes only to steal and destroy. Kill. And he does this several ways. First of all, he tempts us, but those temptations, they lead us away from Christ and towards destructive behavior so that they become our habit, and habit really creates a life. Or he'll just oppress us with spiritual darkness. Or he sways our thinking so that we make decisions contrary to God's will, and then we find ourselves in a difficult place. Or we find ourselves trapped, and he just holds us in that place of bondage. And he does all that while we're living in a world system that it's basically his design that he's taken over. That would be really bad news, but Jesus comes into this world that the thief is at work in, and he says, I came into this world that you might have life, that your life in this world might be full. You don't wait till after you die to finally have fullness. It starts from the time Jesus enters your life. Now, let me point out a symptom of this age. It seems benign. It seems even good. But it's working destruction in us. It's busyness. It's overactivity that crowds out the voice of God and the voice of the Spirit. It really leads to a life that's a dry cake. And then we think, oh, I'll add some Jesus and some more church stuff to it. But it's still a dry cake. The reason why this doesn't work is because the busyness and the activity actually crowds out the voice of God. And we become so busy that we cannot have fellowship with the Lord. And so the life of fullness is not just a life where I merely believe in Jesus. Once I believe, everything becomes wonderful. No, it's a life where I live in fellowship with Jesus and I follow him in the kind of life he modeled for us. And it's from that kind of life that comes fullness and fruit. My way of trying to illustrate that is I hurt my back like 2 months ago. It was a herniated disc. For a few days, I was just paralyzed and in pain. And finally, when I could go to the doctor, he sent me to a physical therapist. And the physical therapist said, you know, your body will heal itself if you do what your body needs. So he gives me all these exercises to do, and I had to find time to do all of it. But you know what? At the time, I thought, there's no way. I'm paralyzed. But you know, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling as good as really I have in years. You know, and then like 6 months ago, I was at the doctor, and she says, you know, your blood sugar's getting a little high, but you know, your body will take care of it if you live a lifestyle that's good for your body. And so I had my labs done, the blood sugars come down. Amazing what taking out carbs from your body will do. All right, the life of Christ is in us. It will actually produce fullness, abundance, fruit. But we need to live a lifestyle that will allow the life of Christ to produce this fruit, this fullness, this abundance. So what kind of lifestyle is that? Well, Dallas Willard put it this way. Spiritual people draw their life from an ongoing conversational relationship with God. It means there's a relationship with God and there's a constant relating and it is ongoing. So I'm always walking, mindful of, thinking of, talking with Jesus. And there are also set times like Jesus had when he would intentionally talk to the Father. There was sufficient time for him to actually listen to the Father and to pour out his heart. Now, Pastor Mike mentioned I'm starting a class on Wednesday. I'm actually calling the class Fullness. It used to be the prayer class, but now it's a fullness class because from this life of prayer that's ongoing, and we use different types of prayer to deepen our relationship with Christ. As it's deepened and as it's ongoing, we begin to experience more of the Holy Spirit in our life, and as we listen to him and respond to him, we start to experience fullness and have effect in the world. This kind of relationship with the Lord is called abiding. John 15:5 says that we will abide in Christ. Now, along with this abiding, we also need to live the life that Jesus modeled for us. And let me just point out three aspects of it. Number one, he wasn't hurried. Two, he was directed by the Spirit. And three, he did it in community with others. If you look at the life of Jesus, he's never in a hurry. And even though there are people clamoring for his attention all the time, he still set apart time to be alone with the Father. And compare that to our lives, where if you happen to be a young family, you're spending your life running them to school, and after school, you're running them to dance, and then you're running them to this sports activity and that sports activity, and if you have any time left, maybe we'll go to church this Sunday. It's just crowded, crowded, crowded. There's no time and space for Jesus in that. And if we do have like spare time, we spend it in front of a TV or on our phones. You know, I'm going to retire next year, and I've read about 6 books on retirement, and it said the average retiree spends 6 to 8 hours watching TV. Well, could some of that be spent in fellowship with the Lord? And so Jesus was not in a hurry. He had time for with the Father. Furthermore, he was led by the Spirit. Jesus said, I see the Father doing. He only did what the Spirit directed him to do. And there's a way that we can just hear the Spirit, be cognizant of the Spirit, and move according to what the Spirit says. And the Word and the Spirit work together. I kind of think of it this way. The Word are the dance steps. But then the Spirit is the music we hear. And Jesus is the one who is leading you. And together you make a beautiful dance. But I need to know the Word. I need to be listening to the music who's a Spirit. I need to let Jesus lead. So if Jesus wants to waltz, I'll waltz, right? Jesus wants a salsa, I'll salsa, huh? I know the steps, the Word. I listen to the music, the Spirit. But he is always in the lead. And then Jesus lived in community. He had 3 years of ministry on the earth, and he lived those 3 years involved in the lives of especially 12 men. And it's really how we grow as well. Because the body of Christ on earth are our fellow believers. And if you want Jesus to work in your life, I just find he works through the body of Christ. So if your life is in pain, if you feel like you're stuck, or you're struggling with temptations, or addiction holds you in bondage, and you've even cried out to Jesus for help, and you're still not free, Jesus works through his body. We need to have authentic enough relationships with at least one other believer so that Jesus can minister to us through them. We can do that by joining a grow group. It may be life-on-life discipleship. You know, we have several people who do life-on-life, where you have one person discipling another, and they spur each other on towards love and good works. It might be a coach who's a Christian, a counselor, or maybe it's just prayer from our prayer team that just sets you free from particular things. Jesus said, I came that you might have life. And he gives us this life even in a world where the thief is trying to kill and destroy you. If fullness of life has eluded you or been sporadic, then we have to ask, Are we buying into the world system? Have I accepted the thief's definition of success? Or are we drawing our life from Christ and living the life he modeled for us? If the cake I've been eating is dry, the frosting is good, but it's not going to redeem the cake. I need a new recipe. And here's the recipe. It's letting Jesus live my life. He's in you, you know. He lives in your body that lives in your house, that works in your workplace, that attends your school, lives in your neighborhood, has your wife, your husband, your kids, your parents, does all the things, places that you go. But as you surrender more and more of this life you've been leading and letting Jesus live his life through you, he's actually going to lead you to a place of abundance and fullness where life may not be easy, but it's full and it's abundant. Last year, I was on the sabbatical as the fall began. I signed up for this river rafting trip in Colombia, and I thought it would be a river rafting trip of like 12 people in a big, you know, kind of dinghy, and there would be a guide, and we'd be on these oars, you know, paddling through this river. But when I got there, there was just me and the guide, and we carried this little rubber canoe down to the river, and the guide said, "Here's all you gotta do. I'll be behind you, and you just do what I say." So we practiced a little, and he said, "Okay, now when I want you to row forward, I'll say, 'Adelante, adelante.' Okay, so now I row forward. He goes, 'I want you to row backwards,' I'll say, 'Atrás, atrás.' Okay, 'Atrás, atrás.' Pare means a stop, right? With your oar in the water. And descansa means rest. You know, you put the oar on your knees. So those are the only four things. He goes, 'I'll be behind you. Just trust me.' I said, 'All right.' So we put out into the water, and it's fine at first, and I'm doing what he says. And then we go through the first set of rapids, and no, that's pretty scary, but that's okay. And then we go through another set of rapids. That's even worse than the first one. And then we go through a third set of rapids, and they're so high that the rubber canoe actually goes through the wave. We pass through it, and but I'm still alive, right? I'm still adelante, adelante. And in between the rapids and the rough spots, it was beautiful and tranquil. The sun was setting, and there were monkeys in the trees, and there were butterflies and hummingbirds going, you know, to different flowers. And I thought, man, this is beautiful. And when it was done, between the terror of the rapids and the beauty of the tranquility, I thought, wow, did I have a ride? And then I remember this verse from Isaiah, you know, because that guide was behind me telling me what to do. And Isaiah says, the Messiah will come, and you'll hear a voice behind you saying, 'Here's the way, walk in it.' But I need a lifestyle where I can actually am quiet enough and close enough to hear what my guide and Savior has to say. If you follow him, he'll lead you into a life that is abundant and full." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that yet you came to us. You live within us. You want to live your life through us. So Lord, we're going to surrender to you. And as we look at our lives, we want to create the margin and space to be with you. I pray that you make your presence known to us, that we may learn to hear you. And with the many voices in our head, we pray that we would hear yours, desire that way. I'm going to pray for people who are not experiencing what they think is abundance or fullness. They're oppressed. They're depressed. They are ill. They are troubled. Lord, we're going to bring to you all their griefs and sorrows and burdens. We're going to lay them down before your cross, and we're going to pray, Lord, that you would set them free, that you show them an act of your mercy. And from this mercy, they would love you and be grateful to you and walk with you. That you lead them into greener pastures. So Lord, do this for us, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.